Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 4th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. Today we read Galatians 5:3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. Let's put that together with 2. I indeed, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What in the world is Paul talking about? Paul introduces obligation to a Gentile people who have no obligation. I mean, you come into faith in Christ as a Gentile. You don't have Judaism in your background. You don't have Abraham or Moses, or you don't have this tracing your natural heritage to nationalistic Israel, and you don't observe all the stuff. So you come to faith in Christ because you hear about this man Jesus and the life abundant that he provides. That, I believe, is how the New Testament speakers, writers, preachers presented the gospel. They presented the gospel not as a fire escape, but as an introduction of the heavenly kingdom into your earthly realm. You could say it this way, I think. They introduced heaven to your hell. They provided you with abundant life. They showed you that God loves you and that he's close to you and that you can be in right standing with God through this relationship with his son Jesus. That seems to be, to me, the presentation of the gospel that is most fluid and most universal in the New Testament. So you present that to a Gentile who comes to faith in Christ, receives eternal life, is baptized and identifies as a follower of Christ. And then, of course, they had no obligations. They just come in by faith. Paul says to them, if now you go and get circumcised. Paul picks one. You could have picked a lot of things that would have identified them with Judaism, but circumcision. And by the way, Judaism is not the only ancient faith that circumcised. So this is not a Jewish exclusive idea. But it's a very external one. And it's very closely connected with the baby boys of Judaism. You'd be raised underneath this. And so Paul takes this old rite of circumcision. Because if you now go and get circumcised in the manner of a Jew, then Paul says, Christ doesn't profit you anything, and you are now a debtor to keep the whole law. And that word debtor, you are now obligated to keep the whole law. So you have introduced obligation into your Christianity, into your faith. You simply believed on Jesus and you received his life. Then you go and start adding these things into your life, like, and Paul picks, circumcision. What's circumcision stand for? It is the identification with the Abrahamic covenant that because you are circumcised, you are God's people, and you now receive favor based upon your family standing. Paul says, if that's true, then you don't need Christ. You just needed to be circumcised. Paul's sort of going around about it by saying this. If there were something that you could do that would put you within the good graces of God, the very fact that you could do it would mean there's no need for Jesus. Because Jesus puts you in the good graces of God. So if you can put you in the good graces of God, then you must stop and ask, what point do I have in meeting Jesus? Jesus is either the answer to the problem of mankind, the bridge to the Father, the expression of love that we're looking for, or he's just a guy that had good ideas. And you really have to decide which one you believe. There's a lot of people in the world that believe he was just a guy that had good ideas. And if we were to follow those ideas, the world would be a better place. And I would agree. In fact, I've said that many times. If we only did what Jesus said, and we didn't even believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, but we did what he said, we'd make the world a better place by default. How could we not? He has really good ideas. But I don't believe that that's the only Jesus that exists is the guy that says good things. I believe that Jesus exists, believe you me, but I don't believe that's all he is. I believe he is an expression of God's love. He is the bridge to God's favor. He is the representation of heaven on the earth, and when we receive him, we receive his life and we receive heaven in our earth, or as I love to say, we receive heaven in our hell. And it begins to move its roots system everywhere in our life. It's rivers, tributaries out from the source of eternal life inside of us. So to go and add something to that would make it of ill effect. So what Paul, I think, is saying in these early refrains of Galatians 5 is that if you can do it without him, you don't need him. And I think everyone who reads Paul, who understands Paul, would say with Paul, there's nothing I can do to receive from God what can only be received through Jesus. Therefore, if Jesus is the forgiver, then I'm only going to get forgiveness through Jesus. If Jesus is God's love, I'm only going to see God's love through Jesus. If I could get it through doing, then I don't need Jesus. And don't ever forget that now that you've met Jesus. So stop the foolishness of thinking that now that you've met Jesus, there's probably six or eight other things you could do to get more of God. If you can figure out one of them, then you can exclude Jesus. Because you don't need Jesus plus a bunch of your stuff. They're oil and water, they don't mix. Trust in him. Receive from him. Whenever you get into the fourth verse, which we'll do tomorrow, with talk about being estranged from Christ, Paul's going to take this argument to the next level, and we'll go with him. We'll see you then. God bless.